fashionably late. So we can get started with the song, and that's number 175, Man of Sorrows. Okay, let's pray and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather tonight before your word and in prayer. I just pray it as we look at this proverb tonight, that you would convict our hearts where they need convicting and encourage our hearts where they need encouragement. We pray that as we listen to your word, that our heart would be receptive and we would desire the things that you want us to do and command us not to do. Lord, I just pray as I speak on this passage that you would let what comes out of my mouth be true representation of what's found in your word and not my own opinion. And we just pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Amen. Well, our passage tonight, as we've been going through the book of Proverbs, is Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. And I'm going to read that. I'm actually going to read the section before it. So I'm going to start in verse 12 of chapter 6. And it says, "A worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a perverse mouth, who winks with his eyes, who signals with his feet, who points with his fingers, who, with perversity in his heart, continually devises evil, who spreads strife. Therefore, his calamity will come suddenly. Instantly, he will be broken, and there will be no healing. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers." The section we're going to cover tonight is a famous section. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it, and it is an illustration of some of the things that God hates. We don't often talk about that. We often talk about what God loves and what he wants us to do. And so this is not a common thing to talk about. I've got a question. Have you ever used a video character creator in a video game? Many of you might not have, but if you have young kids or young relatives, you've definitely seen them. You have characters, you can customize their outfits. Some games are so intricate that you can go from the top of the head and you can choose the facial structure and the hair and the eyes and all the way down to the outfit, the shoes, the body type, eye color, all that kind of stuff. It's crazy, and you have the opportunity to create kind of an abomination of a character. You can make it as ugly looking as you want. Well, tonight, we're not going to look at a character creator, but we are going to watch God build a character of a fool. And we're going to watch him show us what God hates using this illustration of the body going from the head to the feet. It is the body of a man who is full of actions and attitudes that are an abomination to the Lord from the top of his head to his feet to the deviousness that comes from his very heart. The outline is pretty simple. It's three main sections I want to talk about. And the first is the introduction and hate of God. And so that's verse 16. Introduction and the hate of God, and then to the body of abomination. That's verses 17 through the beginning of verse 19. And then the last point is the man of strife, which is verse 19. So our section, it kind of connects to the section before it. There's no clear, it's kind of written as different parts of chapter 6 are written as a different example to the son of the preacher. And these sections have themes that really tie into each other. You can almost say that our current section, verses 16 through 19, is a little bit of a summary of verses 12 through 15. They have very common themes, including the theme of a man who causes strife. A man who causes strife. There's lying, there's pride, there's hurt of others in both sections. So much so that you can tie the verses back to one another. For example, in verse 14, it says, "Who with perversity in his heart continually devises evil." And then if you look down at verse 18, "A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil." So the main difference between these two sections seems to be this, as I was looking at it and observing it. The previous verses tell us the earthly perspective of a man who causes strife. They're looking at him, and he's a man who's got his hands that point in different directions, so he uses even his body language to deceive. And it's the earthly perspective and the earthly fate of a person who does these things, who causes strife. And you can see it in verse 15. It says, "Therefore, this calamity will come suddenly. Instantly, he will be broken, and there will be no healing." So if that's the earthly perspective, this section that we're talking about, it seems to be God's perspective on these actions and attitudes. God's perspective on these actions and attitudes. So in verse 16, it says, "There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him." These are not the only things that God hates. Like, it's not like you can go to God and say, "Okay, these are the only seven things that you hate." No, there are other things. And we can see that in different parts of Scripture. And so it's not exhaustive. For example, homosexuality is an abomination to God. Worship of false gods is an abomination to God. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 13 through 16. If you do false weights and measures, it's an abomination to God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32, it says, "For the devious one is an abomination to Yahweh, but his secret counsel is with the upright." So, if that's not the reason why he says 6, 7, we don't really have an idea why he says, oh, okay, 6 or 7. But there is a reason he kind of phrases it this way. And the simple answer is, it's catchy. So he says, six things the Lord hates, even seven. It wouldn't be as catchy if it said seven things the Lord hates, even seven that are an abomination. It just doesn't catch. And even in the Hebrew, a bunch of the words there begin with the letter or the sound, so it's like six things the Lord hates, and it, that word hates is like sane, so six things the Lord sane, and then, so it's very catchy. It's meant to catch your eye and ear and be memorable, and that's why he kind of says it. And even the phrase six and seven, the commentators that I was reading, they kind of said it was an indication of abundance. So there's a bunch more things. It's not just that we see it in other passages of Scripture, but it kind of indicates in the original language, okay, there's more things, but these are seven of them. These are seven of them. So we don't like talking about God hating anything, but he does, and I already gave some examples. The hatred of God is necessary because without hate, there is no love. They're flip sides of each other. And we kind of get an idea already at the beginning of why God hates the things that he's going to mention. It says, you know, it repeats itself, right? So six things the Lord hates and seven are an abomination. It's not just that he hates it, it's an abomination. It has the idea of disgust or just contempt. And the word for him, if you look at verse 16, it says seven which are an abomination to him. It's not like the pronoun in the Hebrew, it actually refers to soul. They're an abomination to his soul. And it's a word that's not really commonly used in connection with God. It's not typically used to refer to God. So these actions that are going to follow, that he's going to describe, are an abomination to the very soul of God, to his inner being. In this passage, the Lord hates and abhors these things, an intense and visceral disgust, because they are against who he is. Who he is. So what are these things? So that was the introduction, and just talking a little bit about the hate of God. And the second point is the body of abomination. So I told you we're going to build a character tonight, and we're going to go from the head to the feet. The head to the feet. And there's, wouldn't you know it, at least six things in this illustration of the body. So, the first is haughty eyes. Haughty eyes in verse 17. And these are eyes that are proud. Eyes that are clearly seen. They're uplifted. They're exalted. Or they've exalted themselves. And it's basically an analogy for arrogance or pride. Arrogance or pride. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11 through 12 says this, "The lofty look of man will be made low, and the men made high will be bowed down, and Yahweh alone will be exalted in that day. For Yahweh of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and high, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be made low." God hates it when man elevates themselves above him. Men do not deserve to be there. We elevate ourselves above God when we disobey God's word. We're essentially saying to God, I know better than you. I know better than you. I don't have to listen to you. We have haughty eyes when we think of ourselves as more important than others. More important than others. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. So, first one, haughty eyes. And the next is a lying tongue. A lying tongue. We all know the commandment, thou shalt not lie. And the lying mentioned here isn't just, oh, I just told a little white lie. The lying here is, it's an aggressive lie meant to hurt others. Aggressive lie meant to hurt others. So it's not just, oh, I stole a cookie from the cookie jar. It's, you're ruining someone's reputation. It's aggressive. God hates lies because he is the truth. In the previous one, haughty eyes, you're attacking his sovereignty. In this one, in lying, you are attacking his very nature as being the truth. Jesus says in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you're thinking about this, have you ever told a lie that was intended to hurt others? God hates that. God hates that. And the next one, so we have haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and the next one in verse 17, it says, and hands that shed innocent blood. And the phrase here is an intentional killing, hence the innocent before blood. God has hated this from the very beginning because you are taking in your hands what is not yours to take. You are destroying the image of God in us. That he created other human beings in. He hated it so much that he instituted capital punishment in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, all the way back at the beginning. Now, if you're like me, hopefully you've never intentionally or unintentionally killed someone, but have you ever deliberately hurt someone with your own hands, in anger? God hates that. He hates when people want to hurt others, the intentional hurting of others, and in its ultimate form, the intentional murder of others. And next we have a heart that devises wicked plans. Heart that devises wicked plans. So we've gone from the eyes, the tongue, the hands, the heart. And the phrase here means a creative calculation or malevolent scheme. And there's a fundamental biblical reality here. Your heart determines your thoughts, as we saw a couple weeks ago when Stephen talked about Proverbs chapter 4. Your heart and your mind are the same. The desires your heart has shapes what you think. This person, the one who has a wicked heart that devises wicked plans, schemes in their heart to do something evil. They plan. And my question for you is, do you ever plan out your sin? Have you ever specifically planned to hurt someone through your sin? The next one is feet that run to evil. And it's in verse 18, and it says, the idea here is the urgency or the zeal, zest, to do evil. It's not that you get there the quickest, to commit a crime. It's the fact that there is a zeal and a zest and urgency with which to fulfill that inner evil desire. And it is to do it as soon as possible. It's feet get me where I need to go so I can do this sin, the sin that my heart has devised. God hates it when there is an eagerness to sin and an eagerness to put yourself in a place to sin. For us, a question you could ask is there resistance to where we are putting ourselves when it gives us in a place where it gives us an opportunity to sin? Is there a resistance to not being in that place or that time or in that way or around those people? And the last, we've hit the feet. So that's kind of the end of the body analogy. We've kind of created the entire character here. But then we have, lastly, in verse 19, a false witness who breathes out lies. False witness who breathes out lies, who utters lies. I like the phrase "breathes out" because that's the feel of the word here. It just comes out of a person. And it says this of Paul, I believe in Acts, where he breathed out hatred and murder against the Christians. It was just coming out of them. And in this specific context, we have the idea of witness. And so what it does is it puts it in the context of a legal court. There could be a couple reasons why in this list lying is included twice. I thought about it. I read a couple commentaries on what they said about it. Some people said, okay, one is kind of an unofficial lie. So the previous one is, okay, just lying on a regular everyday basis. And then some others would say, okay, the second lie is a lie in a legal court. So you kind of have an unofficial lie and then an official lie. I don't quite think I get that, but I do think that this is just kind of a different kind of lying. Imagine if you were to lie on a stand in a court. And all the rest of these actually have kind of a legal connotation. It's almost as if the preacher is saying to his son, take serious being in a court, the legal system, too. So it's not just these individual things, but take care how you treat or act within a legal system. Okay? And then, so that's the body of abomination. And then the third point, a man of strife. When we're talking about six things, even seven, another reason that phrase could be used is that the seventh is kind of the culmination, the greatest thing. And the seventh thing, the culmination of the thing that the Lord hates, is someone who causes strife among their brothers. And the idea of brothers here is it's kind of vague. It's not necessarily the idea of, oh, you know, family, brothers, blood brothers. It could have that idea. It could also have the idea of close friends, like, oh, we're brothers. Or it could even have the idea of countrymen. And I think that's on purpose. It's the idea of it kind of extends to everyone. It's someone who causes strife among their brothers, or I would even maybe say among their neighbors, as we kind of think of it from a New Testament perspective. So it's anyone who's causing deliberate strife among brothers. And if you look at all the rest of these attributes, and even the section that we talked about previously, in this verse 12 through 15, that strife is kind of the point. It's God hates strife among brothers. So specifically strife that is intentional and to cause hurt of others. Now I know I've asked you a bunch of questions of, okay, how does this kind of relate to you? How can you think about this? And I want to summarize that or caveat that with saying, this is the preacher saying to his son, this is what a fool looks like. This is what a fool looks like. And the reason I asked those questions before is so that maybe it can prick your conscience in some of the things that we're talking about. But the fool in Proverbs is the unrighteous man. He is the wicked, essentially. So you shouldn't be like this. And I hope that none of you are looking at yourselves like, that really like hits me on the nail. Like that's me right there. I hope that's not you. But I want to ask the question, okay, so what are we to understand out of this? What are we to understand out of all of this? Well, the main thing we are to understand is that God hates these things. He hates a lying tongue. He hates the haughty eyes, the proudness. And really, you can even see it and when we talk about an unbeliever, those who have set themselves against God in unbelief. God hates those things, so clear application is, okay, don't do those things. And you can look at each of these different attributes to yourself and say, okay, Lord, where do I fall short in this? Do you have a lying tongue that intends to hurt others? Do you plan out wicked things in your heart? Are you a person who intentionally causes strife? Another kind of application we can take from this is not bring spurious lawsuits. In that context and in bringing in some of the legal ideas, we live in a very litigious society who sues over the mundanest things, and we shouldn't do it. And to bring a little bit more of a New Testament perspective on this, God has laid aside his enmity towards us, his hate, and reconciled himself to us. He no longer hates the things that we do because he sees Christ in our place. And he sees Christ's righteousness in our place. You know, and to top it all off, you know, we should hate these things. It's not enough that we shouldn't do them. It's that we should hate these things too. So Psalm 97 verse 10 begins, "O you who love the Lord, hate evil." Hate evil. We are to hate evil. In ourselves as much as in the outside world. And it's not that we hate people. We don't. That is not our place, because hate implies some sort of judgment against them. We are to bring God's word against them, but it's never to result in any kind of action. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord," in Romans 12, 19. And so what does it mean to hate evil? I was thinking through it, and a couple things came to mind. If you hate evil, you will... one, love what is good. Love what is good. Two, you'll eliminate evil in your own life. Three, you'll be disgusted by evil. And if you ever want to know if you hate evil like you should, identify something around you that is evil and measure how much disgust you have towards it. You know, four, you cannot celebrate or encourage evil. Don't encourage the lying around you. And five, you have great compassion on those who are mired in evil, who are mired in unbelief. You know, what measure of compassion do you have towards them who used to be like you, who are dead in their trespasses and sins? I'm going to pray real quick, and then I'm going to hand out the prayer sheets. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is just, and who loves us, even though we did not deserve it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to first and foremost hate our own sin, that we can show that we love you more. Help us in our lives to be convicted by the things that we do that you hate. Lord, we thank you so much that we have Christ's righteousness, and that we are no longer dead in our trespasses and sins. I pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.